Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
I want to give an assignment for our worship. There's always things are happening in the supernatural, but we were going to aim our worship and our praise in a certain direction. Tonight, how many of you have ever been in a hurricane? She not only has gone through them, but she has received a special badge of several hurricanes. How many others have gone through a hurricane? Where was your experience? Yeah. Okay. Hurricane what? Allison. How many years ago was that? Okay. Yes. You don't forget that. Who else? Raise your hand. Which one were you in? Lady, yes, you. Right, right. We remember that. And Keila, did you raise your hand? Someone put the mic. Sorry, I should have given a mic.
Hugo, here in Charlotte, and then I was in one in Connecticut probably 20 years ago. I don't remember the name of that one, but there was 80 mile an hour winds. And I know that's not too much, but that was a lot for me compared to some.
All right. Who else? Was there someone else? Yes. Now, yours was where, Esther?
In Taiwan, every year.
Taiwan. Why did you place yourself where it would hit?
What's that?
I'm just kidding. But in that area, they're called typhoons.
Yes, typhoon, right? It's the same as a hurricane.
Yeah, I know, but they change it.
Yeah,
so
we
it's
call that
legally, you would say, it's a typhoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been in a typhoon, mm-hmm. But we'll call it a hurricane.
Yep.
I'm pulling a leg. She's great. Who else? Did I miss someone else? Back there.
Hurricane Hugo.
Hurricane Hugo, yes. Okay, where were you?
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
In Rock Hill, right here. How about that?
It was Fran and Floyd in Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Yeah, in North Carolina, coastline. Yeah, okay. How many years ago was that?
Fran was in 1996. I don't remember Floyd.
Okay. Anybody else that I missed?
Hurricane Hugo.
Hugo, okay. You raised your hand over there. Hugo also? Yeah. All right.
Katrina twice.
Twice? So you
twice.
Circled back? To,
I went to ride it out with my mother in South Florida, went through the coast, and I went back to Alabama, and it hit me up there.
That's unique.
And then I got chased by Charlie. I was at North Myrtle and had to go up to Raleigh, and it was right behind me.
That is funny. That's great.
And I was in Mississippi in 90, and I believe it was Elena.
1990?
Camille. No, Camille was really.
Camille. Right.
It was Elena.
Okay.
We celebrated Sarah's birthday in the midst of Andrew in South Florida.
Yeah. It was the most powerful hurricane recorded to hit us on the land. In fact, the gauge, the meter gauge that measures hurricane speed, the hurricane was so powerful it blew that over. Yeah, in Hurricane Andrew. We were, now you're not, you You've been in Florida some, but you're not during the time.
We flee. We were in New Jersey for Sandy, but we went south, and then we came 2 years ago. We moved, you know, from the hurricane, and now we just, you know, we're ahead of the storms.
Yes, that's Emmanuel and Kelly. And I wanted, by the way, I'm interrupting myself to interrupt myself, which is difficult to do, but Pastor Darren, start. Well, there you are. You keep moving. Pastor Darren, come while you come up here.
Come up
and
there.
Speak. Right. Yes. Pastor Darren is one of our dear, dear friends.
Amazing.
Of this ministry. And his fellowship is one of the most powerful fellowships. I believe that the prayers and worship of this fellowship is keeping Seattle from being destroyed.
Wow.
I almost feel like they have such a grace. And your father was a major influence for revival and for keeping. People don't realize that sustained worship from certain centers are really coverings for the whole region. Mm. And that their worship, their praise is critical for angelic presence and God's covering over that area. That if we could see in the spirit, there was a, well, I'll tell you later, but for 2-3 years while I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, just, I guess it was the ministry of deliverance with discernment, but I would see the dark powers over regions and over in the houses and neighbors. I could see the serpents and other creatures. And I said, Lord, why am I seeing this? And he said, so you could discern what the powers are. And then after 2 years or so, I just said, Lord, I don't want to see this. Thank you very much. But it's really can traumatize. It's the Lord's covering over you. He does not let you see all the demonic junk. But just be assured that it's your voice, your prayer, your intercession is an influence over a region. Your declaration of scriptures, you know, puts a canopy of glory over neighborhoods and over cities. You found, for example, Finney's revivals were such, not just Finney, but others revivalists, that the atmosphere would change, that when Finney would hold a revival, people would come over into the city limits and get slain in the spirit. People would be hit by the power of God. They would get off their horses and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Nobody talking to them. But there is an Darren is senior pastor of Seattle Revival Center, and he's a dear friend. And it feels home when Bonnie and I go there. Amen. The glory is so awesome and wonderful, and their people—they remind me of you. It's like relatives. So anyway, he is here, and I wanted him to greet us and say a blessing.
Yeah, excellent. Well, greetings from Seattle. It's such an honor to be all up in your atmosphere tonight. This is incredible. I call Pastor Mahesh Papa Mahesh in Seattle, and Mama Bonnie. They're like a Papa, a Mama to our house. And we were talking today, actually. The gang. Yeah. So everyone, this is Eric. Eric, if you want to wave your hand. And he's a videographer and graphics designer and does all the stuff for Destiny Encounters. You say, Destiny Encounters, what's that? Well, Charlie Champ, that's his ministry. He's here tonight. And then I brought our youth director, Nick Leone from Seattle. So we were having lunch today, and we were talking about tonight and just coming to this... you know, I was just thinking about wine and how it gets better with age. and how with how each year it becomes more and more clear, and how they the whole process. Anyways, we don't have to get into that. But being here tonight of 24 years worth of aging and maturity and waiting and watching, and we were having this conversation today about getting to come and to receive and experience the fruit of this commitment to consistency. You know, and this place of just laboring and waiting, and it's wonderful to host parties, but I like to go to other people's parties, and oftentimes in Seattle we do all the hosting. But I thought, hey, this is going to be so much fun to come and to get to experience the fruit, to drink of this well, and to drink of this expression of 25 years of waiting and entertaining and hosting the presence of the Lord. And so we came here to drink from your well tonight, and it's so good. It's so good to be here. We just love you, Papa Mahesh, Pastor Mahesh. Appreciate you. And you too, Mama Bami. Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Charles. You want to come up here,
Charlie? Woo! It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
It's beautiful here. I'm just glad I get to come and drink with you tonight.
You are welcome.
You know, I feel like the Lord is doing something really special in this season. And as I was actually driving our a Penske truck over with a lot of our stuff because we're moving to Moravian Falls, the power of God hit me. I had to pull over for an hour and just start to write this prophetic word. But the Lord began to speak to me about a new eagle's anointing that is being released, and that this anointing is going to come off from Deuteronomy 32, and that there's this fresh oil that is going to light a fire right now, and that the Lord is also releasing this fresh, sweet honey. And there's a refreshing that's coming. And as I saw this, it was like these prophetic words that sometimes come to you, and you've had those words, but it's almost like they hit you, but they slide off. And I said, Lord, what's the honey for? And he said, the honey is so that the word sticks to you, and it's not going to fall off of us. And then last night, we got a little dangerous, a little crazy. Our crew did, and we went up to Prayer Mountain. And it was, you know, pitch black, dark out there. We had our flashlights out, and I'm taking the guys around, and we're like praying in the Holy Ghost, and we're walking through, and we got our flashlights out, and I'm like, God, this is so awesome. And there was a little snake, a little tiny snake that was right on the pathway. And the Lord said, look at that. He said, it's the little, it's not these massive snakes that we have to deal with all the time, but it's often these little ones that are along our path of destiny that we need to take care of in this season. And I believe there's an eagle anointing that's rising up right now that is even going, a company of eagles that are going to take care of even the little serpents that are trying to stop us from the progression into the prayer and the mountain of the Lord, sir.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So once you're settled in Moravian Falls, we will see. It'll be easy for you to come on down from time to time. Yes. And sure.
So, Charlie, one of the things that, this is how the watch works, is 2 weeks ago, the word the watch received about this season is that scripture, the honey from the rock. And we spent an entire 4 or 5 hours in the presence and the rhythm of the Lord. So you see some of us looking around going, That's, you know, and I appreciate, Darren, what you said, but what we experience together in the longevity of the gathering is that kind of resonance where there is a simple word, but it's actually a powerful, like, prophetic either insight or compass that isn't just for an immediate thing, but it's, you know, there's longevity to it. But this is the convergence, I think, is a good word for it. And revival looks different than it's ever looked to any of us who are alive now. And particularly in America, in the West, continental America, God is doing something that is different, and it is about culture shift, but the way we go about it and the way it looks isn't like anything that we've seen. So we need the familiarity of communally moving and worshiping, you know, in the dynamic of the Holy Ghost. And when we think about, I know Pastor Mahesh is going to share a little bit out of the context of the storm that is coming, but we were called here to Charlotte and invited in with a letter from a group of 40 local senior pastors that had been praying together for 20 years. And they wrote a letter and asked Mahesh and I if we would consider moving to their city and planting a church here. That was our invitation, our green light. That was our ethos in the way. So we came here and we began to watch. But the events that are happening in this city right now, as the world is starting to turn towards this city, and what will be next year in the history of the world is estimated to be the most media watched, most converged on global event in history in this city. And what we understand from the very beginning of the prophetic word, prayers prayed, the vision seen, that we believe that we are sent here for next year and beyond, but for next year. And we knew very specifically we had an actual hand in the event of bringing the convention here against odds, and are here waiting in a way for this storm to come. Yeah, so that's just a little peripheral about the longevity. Appreciate, Darren, what you said about the watch. And one of the things that has kind of fallen away from the expression of the watch, but our prayers that will be revived, is that for the first few years, when we did it all night, all the little kids were included. So it was crazy, because we would come in whole families and spend the whole night. We've kind of, maybe they've all grown up, but that, you know, Nick, that's just, what you guys are doing is good, and in our life in history, bringing our kids along with us is where they picked up on the anointing. You guys are really good at that in Seattle, and that's awesome, because you've got some longevity in that. That's very, very key.
Yeah, and Darren, you pointed out something about one of the words, which is something that I believe God would have us really receive if we are to go on further in maturity, is the word consistency. The charismatic era was very much on receiving the power and renewal, and we call it, and you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit was wonderful, but it was flighty. A lot of it was like little butterflies and bumblebees going here, here and all that, and not we then God raised up and I mean it was, you can understand it because we had not been around it for a long time, so we acted somewhat like children. Oh, there's a new toy, ha, and then going somewhere else and but not growing up. And then God gave us apostolic fathers who would call us to accountability. And I would say that's something new, that as we get this new oil and honey from a rock, but that the Lord, that's the voice, part of the voice of the watch that we have modeled, that it's not a prayer meeting every 3 months that we kind of hope we may have. No, we stayed consistent, committed, and corporate for 25 years in a city, praying for our nation, praying for the city, praying for Israel. And that's, And that's part of the thing that in Seattle that you guys bring. That you could see the opposite also, how the result of what the enemy would do. The model is some of you could see it in San Francisco, you see it in Seattle, the homelessness, the people tormented by drugs and all that, that there has to be strong walls. There used to be the reason there were walls to the city were so that you can prevent. And in the spiritual realm, we have strengthened the walls. In one of the scriptures that the Lord gave us from the start was Nehemiah, and build the walls. So, and you have to have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, that you have to build the wall, and with prayers and worship, we are building the walls that would prevent incursions of bandits and violence and all of that. But spiritually, you can see the result over this last year or 2 years that many children who've grown up who are adults now, but they have become victims of drug addiction, and they're from a good, you know, not from a poor background, and yet they're devastated lives, because that's the homelessness and the people in the tent cities and all kinds of sewage right there around that people have. Doesn't matter how civilized you feel, if you're not able to clean the sewage right around you, you have been really gone down the tubes. So it needs an example. I'm not pointing at that any particular person, but it's like it's spreading. It's an example for us. First in the natural, then in the spiritual. This is the condition. That's why it's important for us to stand in the gap. I'll call for people to stand in the gap as intercessors. So this is essential. And once we lose our consistency and corporeity, and it's so we have to keep this. There is so much power loosed as we worship and praise. I was going to, and I will, but there is bigger things happening than we realize, and we have to continue the baton that your dad was faithful in, you carrying it on. And as far as this should be spiritual sons and daughters as well as physical. The apostolic calling that Brother Derek Prince had, it just basically we are the sons and daughters that are, we have inherited that, because there are not too many others out there that have the kind of ministry that, but we have carrying on some of those principles of prayer. And then the eagle picture also. We 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we talked about the rise of the Eagle Army, and that they would, on the anniversary, 70th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, during that time, it was a crisis when more than 22,000 American soldiers were killed in about a week during the Battle of the Bulge. They needed a breakthrough. So, and see this in the natural, first in the natural and the spiritual, but Patton's army was trapped in Belgium. There was some kind of anniversary that was in Belgium this week, I forgot now. But they were held back. Patton's army was held back. 22,000 American soldiers died that week, and 200 British soldiers. So you can see who took the brunt of the attack. But Patton at that time sent for his chaplain and said, "I need a prayer." So what kind of prayer? A weather-busting prayer, so that our planes can fly. And the chaplain came up with the prayer, and he had every 200 and approximately 230,000 soldiers got a copy of that prayer the next day. They copied them and gave that prayer and handed it physically to every soldier, U.S. soldier, that was involved in the battle. But they prayed, and the next day, the weather changed. It was an absolute miracle. It was not and all the planes could fly. But the Lord gave me a vision of all the planes flying, and they were in the shape of eagles. And we prophesied. I mean, the Lord said, I'm going to raise up again an army of eagles that are going to fly and change the destiny of nations.
So as you get ready to talk about this storm and whatever you're going to say, I'm looking at a copy of those cards that were distributed, and the prayer says this: Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains with which we have to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations. Amen. Restrain these immoderate rains and grant us fair weather.
Awesome. Awesome. Amen. So we are, I asked for different people's experiences in the storm. And again, first the natural, then the spiritual. But we go through certain seasons. So this is the storm. But the hurricanes or the typhoons are the most powerful winds. And so one is heading towards us at this time. And some of us who have experienced it physically, we know, we have heard. There is one thing of reading about it or seeing it on the TV. And there is another thing when you hear those strong wind battering and the trees falling and the electricity crackling and that the wires breaking in front of your eyes, in front of your house, and you pray that it won't start burning things. And it's quite an experience. There is something happening also in the realm of the spirit. But this is, of all things, they named it Hurricane Dorian. And Sarah my daughter made a remark. She said, maybe they can fly over the storm and show a picture of it. If you remember the story, The Portrait of Dorian Gray, a classic, where he does not age. He's ageless. But it's a kind of like a demonic thing. And he grows old and beyond 100 years and 50 years or whatever that was. And the portrait has aged and has wrinkles and all of it. But he is young as ever. Sarah thought, you know, if you show it its own portrait, it'll start, it starts dying, you know. Anyway, I wanted us, our worship, to be pointed in a certain direction. We experienced it. So when we realized God was calling us to move to Charlotte, I remember Bonnie said, I've gone through so many hurricanes. I will be glad to see this in my rear window as I'm driving out of here. Well, funny thing was, the Lord has such a sense of humor. See, we came here, and the first vacation period, we seldom take vacations. The first vacation we took, we went to Myrtle Beach. And first time we had a break. The moment we got to Myrtle Beach, a hurricane is coming this way towards Myrtle Beach. And guess what they called it? Hurricane Bonnie.
Yes.
You turned it on.
And yes, we bought the t-shirts that say, I survived Hurricane Bonnie.
But this is the last hurricane we experienced in Florida was Hurricane Andrew, which was at that time the most powerful hurricane recorded to hit. And then at that time, and this at this time, as we are reading, the patterns and all of the direction is almost an exact imitation of Hurricane Andrew. So know that it's affecting right now millions of lives, and they are our countrymen, and we need to tonight. We one of the our worship praise. We want to, of course, pray for some of the regular things we pray for. Pray for every family that is sent in prayer needs. Bonnie and I were with prayer in prayer on the phone with a family 2 days ago. Was it three? Anyway, that had another kind of storm hitting them, and they needed healing. There are people who need healing from cancer. We are going to see that. That's another kind of storm. We are going to pray for that storm to subside. I'll give you a scripture. In Isaiah 43. But now, thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, that the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I'll give men for thee and people for thy life. So God promised, I just want us to see that as the some of the storms, we are going to pray that angelic forces will be there. I remember when Hurricane Andrew was coming directly at, in our direction. Bonnie and I prayed, Lord, let the angels go and wrestle it and make it go southwards. And it did. It turned and went southwards so that the main population areas, it missed. I mean, I felt like the angels were active. They're actively involved in this. And so we are going to call out God's angels, angelic forces, to change the direction of this hurricane. You know, if he so desires, let it just go push back into the Atlantic, but at least change it to the it harms, or it does not hurt people, and lives will not be lost. So I felt like some of the worship as we go on tonight, that we want to have it in a, we're going to pray, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and especially this wind, and that you see, Luke chapter 8 is another scripture that I wanted to look at.
Hey, Pastor.
Yeah.
Bonnie wants me to share this. When you read that, when you pass through the waters, the word, I believe, is mayim. And it says, mayim appears 570 times in the Old Testament as a wide range of use. It occurs as a metaphor for the raging heathen, the chaotic, stormy seas at creation, and vast nations or seas of people.
That's what it
is. Wow.
Yeah.
Amen.
So when you read about the waters, you're talking about chaotic, just a real storm.
Yeah.
Just a real storm.
And we'll come back to that in a moment. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22 onwards, now it happened on a certain day that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Jesus and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And this is a somewhat funny scene. Either I'm because I have a weird sense of humor that he's the one who is expected to be the most alert, and he's fast asleep. He's tired. He's physical. But Isaiah 43, when you pass us through the waters, the Lord does not at that time guarantee you will never pass through the waters and the fire will never. He says, when you go through that, I'll be with you. So often, then we get other storms. We get this family we were praying with. They had the medical condition that can be quite critical was revealed, and we were calling them to pray covering for them. But sometimes the different kinds of storms come. So we are specifically praying for the safety of millions of Floridians. But we also, some of the principles here are the same. When we get a family diagnosis or something else happens, whatever the storms, the Lord's saying, I'm not guaranteeing you there won't be storms. But when you pass through that, I'll be with you. And the waters will not overwhelm you. For us, perhaps the most traumatic and stormy time in our life was because of our heart and how we love our children. The two most almost heartbreaking experience for Bonnie and I was the birth of both of our sons were supposed to die. And then as we were passing through the waters, the Lord was with us. Yeah. And then, it was almost like a movie script, because the day arrived that for my first son, Ben, the glory literally manifested right there in the hospital room. And the nurse started weeping and ran, and she saw the cloudy pillar descend over that little bed, and the Lord literally absorbing his pain and the sickness. And it was just something. Yeah. And then you think, that is awesome. The Lord said, you haven't seen anything yet. Yeah. And then our other son, I had to anoint him with oil. I'd promised Derek Prince I would be with him to help him in Zambia, in Africa. And yet our son was dying, and I anointed him. And for Aaron, I thought, I am going to be in Africa when he dies. And Bonnie urged me to go. I mean, she said, you will matter there. You won't matter here. But then one day the glory came down right there, and a word of knowledge. By the way, there's a man here. Your son died this morning. Come up. Yeah. He will be resurrected.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, the glory went. And literally the second resurrection, I mean, Aaron's healing.
Yeah.
But in the stormiest of waters, I am with thee. So, and that's, may the Lord anoint you to carry that anointing. May you have an impartation that in the midst of the stormiest waters, that you will be an emissary of the word of the Lord, that you will carry the glory word, that at the critical time God will endow you, because you have, we have been together, we have been discipled in this, that you will, suddenly you will know you carry the word for that situation. So be a steward. God wants you to experience, become supernatural, natural people. You carry it naturally, but you're going to be, that's the word years ago the Lord gave me, and that's why I wrote that book. It says, tell my people they are storm chasers, that they have authority. In this one, in this Luke 8 scripture, he addresses Master, we are perishing. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. In another version, that another, Jesus speaks and says, Shalom. And that word is so anointed. But may you also carry the mantle. Just, my Father sent me, so send I you, that you are stewards of Shalom, that you are receiving. At certain time, at a time and a place, that you will tell Shalom, peace, be still. You can say that this week. We, three situations where to speak Shalom, and especially on the phone for people not necessarily geographically here, but for cancer, that you can speak to the raging storm and say, in Jesus' name, you will not torment anymore. Withdraw, be bound up. That's a type of stormy situation. And this is, why, Lord, why did you say? And the Lord said, like, I didn't, Bonnie and I, when I remember, I look back, and I said, you know, here we are. We are serving you. We are missionaries, and we're doing all of this, and suddenly you thought that was not enough. We needed the experience of our children being, you know, almost losing them, but it was to go to a next level of faith, where you're such, so it puts steel in you, and God wants to put steel in the body of Christ. And that this, for example, this next year, this region is going to be the focus of a lot of warfare. There is going to be good, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We might need Clint Eastwood here. But all kinds of stuff will be here. Another scripture, I'll just want to give just a couple of scriptures, then we're going to go into prayer and worship. Gee, my iPad is working. I got my new iPad, but it is not here. I put it to get it charged. I like the scriptures. Sorry. Job 23:8 says, look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. So whatever storm, sometimes it's a testing. You may not see him. I look back. I look forward. I don't see him. But he is right there. So don't be afraid when you go through this. He is there. And he's going to get you the next level of miracles and breakthroughs. So he's training us. Anyway, whatever the storm, let the Lord speak shalom. So we speak over Hurricane Dorian and say shalom in the name of Jesus. We should make a study of storms. Acts 27 is another apostolic journey. They have to fight a storm. And we want to acknowledge his presence at this present time as the storm is approaching Florida, the Florida coast. And we believe every word, when especially Isaiah 43, when you go through this, I'll be with you. And we're going to count the blessings. And his word, his promise, and declare his promise over Florida, over all.
Amen.
The people we talked with, a family we've known for nearly 40 years. And they live in South Florida. So, and Sarah called them. How are you doing? We're doing great. I'm just making sure that there's enough food for our two squirrels that live in the tree. I said, this is weird. Your priorities are a little strange. And things that matter, let them matter. But you find in Acts 27, the Lord has them, or at least Paul is on his apostolic journey, that they, going through the storm, get rid of excess baggage. Don't take stuff that you don't need to. Don't load yourself with extraneous things. Sometimes it's just the extraneous stuff that bogs you down. The things that are clear and our priorities, we carry those with us. Anyway, so let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. So we are in the realm of the Spirit, we are praying for the wind. We're going to pray. It'll either shift so it'll not hit too much of the population or be pushed back out into the Atlantic. So we want to release angelic forces for that. And then we want to make the glory come down to give us supernatural miracles for people who, different kinds of storms that are within our realm, in the church family, or people who really looking to the Lord, we're going to agree with them that the glory is coming here. So we're going to ask Michael, the company, to come back. There was a storm. I mean, there was a song I had, and it went out of my brain. So you will have to retrieve it.
Come on, Michael.
And then we'll pray some more, but we're going to get into some worship. I felt like we were supposed to blow the shofar. Does anybody else have a shofar? We'll have to train.
So I would suggest that we enter into this. Go ahead with your shofar, that we all enter into this as watchmen as you get ready to blow the shofar. And we will let our prayer spirit arise in the declaration of this sound toward that storm, over that storm.
Yeah. Amen. And we pray that we have the least harm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we address in our prayer our friends, our fellow citizens in Florida and Georgia, even in the coastline, if there's any South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever it God arise. Let the storm be scattered. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. And the wind and the storm be scattered. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.